Blog Talk Radio. I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay. For this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best that I am great. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show with your host, Phenicia Hubbard, and co-hosts Beverly Rogers and Candace Cole. This is the Uplift Connection, where you hear inspirational stories from uplifting women who are choosing to make it great in their lives. For a listing of upcoming guests and topics, visit us online at Phenicia.com.
Hello and happy Sunday. I am great. I am great, and you can make it great every single day. Welcome to another edition of Make It Great Show. It's here where we come together to give you food for your mind and fuel for your soul, and we do that by engaging in topics that are relevant, sometimes hot, but we give you a different perspective on how to look at things, and we love to have conversations with other women who are out there making it great in the world as well. So glad to have you tuned in tonight at blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat, where you can chat with us online, and you can also listen to us via telephone at 347-327-9281. Thanks for joining us again this evening. I'm Phenicia Hubbard, your Make It Great coach.
And I'm Beverly Rogers, the question coach.
And I'm Chanel Ellis, living a life of peace and prosperity.
All right. I love it. Peace, prosperity, making it great, and all things good. Ladies, it is fantastic weather here in Chicago. I want to know what's going on, what you're celebrating. Bev, you always have something that you're celebrating. So what's going on in your world?
I am still celebrating living in the overflow. I have two people who have asked me to do presentations for May, so not only is it going to be a wonderful Mother's Day May, but I'm going to be out there just doing my passion in May, and I'm looking forward to a really make it great springtime.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Living in the overflow, Bev. It just doesn't seem to stop. And I love how you continue to just embrace life all the time. Absolutely. A role model. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Chanel, what are you celebrating?
Well, I think that Bev's overflow is spilling on me because this past week actually was a really good week for me. My business is awesome. Got a lot of voiceover work coming through, some graphic design work. I'm just meeting a lot of good people to work with, and I'm really excited about that. So, Bev, I actually thought about you this week. So I think the overflow is really spreading over here, so thank you.
I'm glad to share it.
I know that's right. And it's because we really are one. It's like, you know, our celebrations are collective celebrations. I love that. And Chanel, I think it's only fitting to remind everybody that the, I don't know if you can call it a poem that we have at the very beginning of the show, that's all you. I am great. Not because somebody tells me, but because I believe. Yes. Love that. Chanel wrote that and did the voiceover for it. I am celebrating, ladies. I'm celebrating young people today. I had a chance to work with about 60 high school girls today, and it was the most refreshing thing because, you know, in Chicago lately, we just hear about young people not doing well, and there are so many young people who are thriving, not just surviving. They are making it great, and these ladies showed up and showed out today. I was just truly, truly impressed with them, so that's what I'm celebrating. Life is good.
All right.
It's good to hear that the young people are doing well, because we do hear so many negative things about our young people today.
Yes, and so as much as we can recognize and shine a light on them, makes a difference, you know? We might have to get some young people on to make a great show. It's a change
out
there. Yes, yes. I'm really excited about the sister who's joining us at the roundtable today. Her name is Carmen Collins. And Carmen is a sister that Deb, we actually connected with her when we had the meetup group. She was one of the first people to join the Uplifting Her meetup group. And she was one of the first people to support us with a financial donation. And she just showered us with so much love and support. And I think she did that not only because she's a good person, but because she understands the power of bringing people together and being united for a common purpose. And to further, you know, further extension of that is looking at the work she does with her nonprofit organization, which came kind of like the same way Uplifting Her came for us, where you notice something that there's a need for because you keep attracting the same type of people in your life. You know, you keep attracting these women who are looking for a sisterhood, who want to be uplifted. And that's what happened with Carmen. She kept attracting women who were looking for a sisterly ear, some guidance and support as it relates to things that would come up in their marriage. And so she formed her nonprofit, Wives United in Prayer, back in 2010. And since then, it continues to thrive. So Carmen Collins is going to join us today in the studio. She is the marriage missionary. At least that's what her husband calls her, the marriage missionary, and I think that fits her very well. So I'm going to bring Carmen into the studio, and I know that she's celebrating quite a bit these days. So, hey, Carmen, welcome to the Make It Great Show.
Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me on this wonderful Make It Great Show.
It's good to talk to you again, Carmen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Carmen, what are you celebrating?
Oh, wow. I just celebrated another birthday, and I am so excited about that and still just feeling the effects of that excitement from the karaoke party yesterday. And it's just always good to see another birthday, especially with everything that's going on in the world today, and just have friends and family there to support you and contribute to having a good time. So I am excited. I'm still excited today about the party yesterday. So thank you for asking, and thank you for inquiring about that and being so supportive as well.
Yes, you are so welcome. It was definitely a good time to celebrate with you. And, you know, it's interesting because, ladies, Carmen was celebrating her birthday, which is all about, you know, celebrating life, having fun. And I was able to witness her work from a different perspective because there were women at the party who are part of her organization. And to see a few of those women with their husbands and to watch the interactions and how couples were coming together in karaoke, you know, just a wonderful thing to see. And a friend of mine who was there with me, she just kept marveling at the black love. And she was just like, I really love seeing all this good black love. So, Carmen, it was nice to see that other perspective of you, too, having fun and bringing people together to celebrate marriage.
Yes, that's awesome. Wonderful. Great.
Carmen, now that you celebrated that birthday, you know, people always say, well, do you feel any older? Are there any lessons that you've learned that you can look back and say, you know, I'm really glad I'm this age because I've learned? What would that be? How would you finish that sentence?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, Beverly. But I'm glad you asked that because yesterday when I woke up in the morning, I, of course, gave thanks to God just for allowing me to see that day. And in addition, when I look back at some of the things that I've learned with becoming a year older, I certainly give thanks to the person that I've become and the people that have been placed in my life. And I know that it's not by chance, that it's a reason that I've met certain people, and including Phoenicia. I am, you know, so glad that we've had the opportunity to cross each other's paths, and I know that it's not, that's not by chance either. But one of the things that I can say offhand that I feel as I've reached another a little bit older today is definitely not to judge a book by its cover. And I think at some point all of us are guilty of that, whether it be, you know, meeting someone and automatically thinking whether it good or bad without giving that person an opportunity or giving yourself the opportunity to get to know someone. So I say that when I think over my life and I think about some genuine relationships that I have been able to have because of learning to take the chance and meet people and open up and be more trusting. And as women, especially Black women, I think that from a young age sometimes, just because of different things that may happen in our lives, we have this guard up sometimes that we're afraid to open up to each other. And so today I can sit here and honestly say that by opening up and just letting things take its toll and just say whatever is going to happen will happen, and trusting that God is going to direct it where it should go, is that positive things have happened because of that. So the two most important things I can say today is not judging people by their cover, or as we always hear the saying, don't judge a book by its cover. And two, open up and feel free to just release some of the things that we're holding on to and not be fearful.
I love your answer. I like that.
I like how you talked about just taking the time to just open up and pretty much just being vulnerable. Could you talk a little bit more about what brought you to a place that made you say, you know, it's okay to open up, it's okay to be vulnerable and get to know someone for who they really are and to allow someone to know who you are for who you are?
Thanks for that question. Meeting people that really have shown me that they really care, and sometimes it takes that as women to see that you can open up and release what's really on your heart, which is what ultimately led me to starting my non-for-profit Wives United in Prayer and just seeing the need for that. Sometimes as business women, we want to be successful. We're trying to hold down so many different titles. We find that, you know, we have to make sure that we're always on 10. Everything is, we want to put on this big face that, you know, we have everything in control, because unfortunately some of us have learned that that's the way successful women have to be. And what I've learned is that from the people that have been placed in my life to take the time to sometimes mentor me, which is why I have a heart for mentoring and giving back now, is that that's the way that you have to be, and you have to be vulnerable in order. Sometimes it's okay to fail because that opens you up to learning. And now that I see that just because I failed at something, it doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It just means that next time I'm going to know how to approach it differently. And because of that, I'm able to help others in the same way. So once I learned that, Carmen, it's okay to fail, that doesn't mean you're a bad person or that you're not going to succeed. It's just an eye-opener. And having more women in my life who are able to show me, hey, I failed 5 or 6 times before I got it right, and it's okay, but look at where I'm at now. I'm more open to open up and say, you know, at one point I was scared about this, but I'm no longer scared, and being able to share that with other women in my life.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like we had a little bit of technical difficulty. Hopefully, Beth can get back on the line. And Carmen, you mentioned the whole mentor piece. and then also how you can attract certain people in your life. And so I'm going to take this to a personal level and look at, you know, my relationship to each of you three women. I think that Bev and I crossed paths, it was like 2005, 2006, at a point where I was consciously requesting more mentors in my life. And then we met each other, and there was just like this strong synergy. And initially it wasn't like, oh, you know, I've met you and now I want you to be my mentor. It was a relationship that developed over time, but life, you know, brought us together. And then I look at Chanel and I, we went to high school together, but we didn't reconnect until recently, maybe, what, like a year ago, Chanel? 2 years ago?
That's a year now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then we started to develop a sort of peer-mentor relationship. And then, Carmen, you and I crossed paths also at a point where I was specifically looking for sort of like business peer mentors. And, again, it's one of those things that I just consciously said, this is what I would really like to have in my life. And it just started to happen. And so just hearing you say that you tend to attract certain people and then to have the whole mentor piece, I'm wondering, how does that play out with the sisters in your organization? You know, like, are you serving as a role model to help them learn how to trust life? Is it something that just kind of happens naturally? You know, what does that look like for the other women?
I think as far as a mentor piece is that we have so many different women at different levels in their lives, in their marriages, careers, et cetera, that we serve as each other's mentors, as sisters to each other. We do have accountability partners in our organization where we hold each other accountable for certain things in our marriage and things like that, just to encourage each other. Sometimes, as you know, we need that extra push. And with having women of different ages and at different levels, we like to encourage each other no matter what. So I think that we all serve as each other's push and accountability partners overall. And no matter what, you always have someone, no matter what you're going through, that can say, hey, I've been there, done that. You know, it took us a few times to get it right, but we did. We're still standing. And that's a very important thing, and we can look at that in every aspect of our lives when it comes to your finances, your relationships, your career. Definitely, you want to have those mentors in your life that are going to encourage and push you. And so I wouldn't want to say that I'm one, you know, person's mentor within Wives United in Prayer. I think we're all each other's mentors because that's so important to utilize each other and utilize and push each other in our strengths so that we can build on any weakness that we're open because of the sisterhood that we have there to say, hey, I need a little help here. And that's what it's all about, being able to open up and say, I'm struggling here. Can you help us out?
Right. And I like that support system. I think that's totally essential. I mean, you can't live this life alone, and we're all connected. One of the things that I'm single, and one of the things I admire about some of the married people, married couples that I meet, or should I say the married women that I meet, is that it seems like there's like this like unspoken bond that married women have. It's like, okay, we're married now, so say a good word to me, I'll say a good word to you, and we're going to make this thing work. We're going to make our marriages work. However, I've noticed that sometimes it's the opposite for women who are single. It seems as if those who are single, they're just like, oh, I'm single, and this is horrible, and I'm not with anybody, and I don't have any prospects. And not only that, where's the support system within, you know, single women? So as a married woman who was once single, obviously, what advice or what words of encouragement can you give to a group of women who are single, who are seeking to possibly be married one day, but just need that push and support?
Oh, that's a very good question. I would say, just one of the things, just with being a woman, just continue to be you, be fabulous, and not so much, and I can speak from personal experience with I still have a lot of single friends. And so I just want to look at that and say, sometimes I find that some people can, that can be their only focus sometimes, that every day they wake up and their focus becomes finding Mr. Right all of the time. And I
right.
think when you start to focus on that, then you're willing to attract anything just because you want to say, I'm, you know, I'm in a marriage, now I'm engaged and I'm about to be married. And so then you're starting to lower your standards because now you're trying to just accept anything, or you're trying to make it be something that it really shouldn't be. And so my advice to any single woman is to continue to be fabulous, focus on yourself, and that as long as you have the faith that that person is out there and that you're going to meet that person, but definitely don't rush it. And just know that your time will come, just like with me. And I always use this because I found my husband when I wasn't even looking for someone. And I think when I was actually opening my eyes up, I, like I said, I just was running into a dead end or whatever because it wasn't something that God had for me. And once God knew that I was ready to step to the next level in my life, then he sent this person to me, which I'm glad to say is my husband today. And I think that that's going to happen. And I've seen it happen. And I believe just with my faith that there is someone out there for all of us, if that's what, you know, people are looking for. And just not to push it and not so much focus on that. Just focus on getting yourself together so you can find that so-called right person. I don't like to say perfect person because no one, I think we set ourselves up for failure when we think it's a perfect Mr. Right out there. But when that person is out there for you, you'll definitely find him. And just to continue to have that faith and not necessarily push the issue to say, where is he? Because he's definitely out there.
Yes.
That is so inspirational.
The first thing I think is that one is a whole number, so that once you get yourself together, you cannot be any more to anybody else than you are to yourself. So to thine own self be true. So when you're talking about being single, you know, single means that you are not joined at the hip with a partner, which is okay, and it's all right to be that because there's some people who want to be single, and some people don't want to make the commitment, and then there, of course, there's some who don't want the commitment and want somebody else's husband. But that's another story. We'll get that later.
That is. Wow, Beverly. That's part two.
But, you know, the other part of being single, ladies, is those of us who are widows. And there are some of my friends who are widows who are looking for a companionship, maybe marriage and maybe not marriage. And, of course, the part two could come in there, too. But, you know, being single, I think when you're a widow and you've decided that, and it is really then a decision that I want to have a mate, which is different from not ever having one and wanting a mate.
Yeah, that whole, so you bring in a different perspective. Because I'm wondering, so when we talk about marriage, you know, as an institution, what is it that a lot of women really are looking for? You know, what are they really looking for when it comes to marriage? And Carmen, I think you made the distinction there when you said some people might just be so focused on finding Mr. Right that all they do is focus on that. You know what I mean? So they could attract anything just so they can say, I'm married. But what are they really looking for?
Exactly.
And what's crazy is the thing that they could possibly be looking for really is within. We talked about this last week. Bev was talking about doing the work, and that start doing that work starts with us. All of these answers are really within us. All the things that we're seeking is within us. And if we would just tap into those things, just like what Carmen was saying, it'll start to attract. The outside will reflect that. So it's within us. We have it.
Oh, it is within us. It starts with us. before you can move on and say you're ready for a relationship, you have to have yourself together. You have to know what is it that Carmen wants, what is it that Phoenicia wants before we start to speak out and say, I want this 6-foot man, his credit has to be excellent, he has to drive a Benz. But then you look at yourself and your credit isn't together. You don't drive that. So you have these higher expectations, but you don't even have your life together. And so I think that it ultimately begins with us to say, what is it that I want, or am I happy, before you seek someone else to try to for that man to make you happy, and you're not happy yourself with who you are.
Exactly.
And I will tell you that, you know, if women are looking to get married because they want security, or if they're looking to get married because somebody said you need to be married after 30, you know, having the man because he looks good, or because the sex is good, or because he pays well, or he drives well, or he smells well, all of that is wonderful on the outside. But ladies, let me tell you, for someone who has been married twice, 8 years the first time, 40-something the second, marriage is different from the other side of what looks good on the outside. Mm-hmm. There is a whole new story that I don't think women realize when they're putting together this checklist of what they're looking for of, I want to be married.
That's true.
Right.
It's definitely, marriage is hard work. Definitely. So just like you go to work and you do your 9-to-5 and you put in those extra hours, don't get married and think that, you know, it stops there. You have this fairy tale wedding and think that everything else is going to fall into place and it's just going to be a happy ending and no trials or tribulations. That's definitely not the case. You have two people coming together as one, and it's hard work, but if you stick in there and you have the right glasses on to say that you just don't have these rosy colored glasses on to think that everything is peaches and cream, it's definitely a partnership that's worth it. But you have to be ready to just put in the work for a success in any marriage.
You would think that the clue would be in sickness and in health. For richer and or for poorer.
Exactly.
And that in itself, if you think you're going in rich and poor days aren't going to come, whether it's poor in attitude, whether it's poor in emotions, whether it's poor in finances, poor days come in some form. Sickness comes in some form, you know, even if it's nothing more than a sneeze, you know, and you think, oh, it's just a sneeze, but who's picking up the Kleenex? Who's making sure there's Kleenex in the house? You know, there are things that people simply take for granted outside the marriage that they don't realize is going to have to be managed inside the marriage.
I wonder, do people go into marriage with sort of unreal, not even feasible expectations? I mean, do you all think that there's some, since we're talking about women, let's keep it on the women. Some women that might go into a marriage thinking, oh, it's going to change when we get married. Oh, it's going to be different when we get married. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But do we have...
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. From the various women that I've met, just even friends or whatever, sometimes you have unrealistic expectations of what it is until you're actually married, unfortunately. And then I think that's why you have so many, well, if we look at the divorce rate, unfortunately, I think because of a lot of that is built up of unrealistic expectations of what marriage really is. And just from, you know, experience, like I see it, a lot of women expect once they have this ring that everything is going to be perfect, and it's not. It's not. And Beverly has hit on some very keen advice, and I agree wholeheartedly with everything that she's saying, in addition to, you know, what I've said from experience. It is definitely hard work, but you have to be realistic about nothing on this earth is easy, and marriage definitely is not. So you just have to know going into, you make sure that you have everything on point for yourself, you're happy with yourself before you advance and look for a man to make you happy.
Right.
He cannot do for you what you cannot do for yourself. What if you cannot be happy by yourself, then a man cannot make you happy.
And that's with anything. You can't, some people have shopping disorders and they expect to go and charge up their credit card and still, at the end of the day, they're still not happy. So that's
right.
It's with anything, a man, a car, it may be a temporary fix, but a year later in your marriage, if you still have those issues, a man is not going to resolve that. You have to rely on your faith and your own actions to control those things or be realistic with yourself, but reaching down deep inside yourself to say, what is it that I'm looking for?
You can preach that sermon, girl. Would you stay around for when I go to reach for my ice cream tonight?
I'll be reaching for mine, too, for different reasons.
I can appreciate the honesty with this conversation. It's really refreshing for people to just be honest if one person is experiencing something and the other person isn't, and just for someone to just be honest and just say, you know,
mm-hmm.
hey, marriage is not easy, and it's not like this on the other side, and you may think this is what you want, but here's the real deal. And I think women such as myself who are single, they see it from the outside looking in instead of actually being candid and asking these questions. So, like, you know, not just trying to get in someone's business, but just like, you know, so what is it like? Or is there anything that you can tell me to help me? And unfortunately, there are some married women who front and pretend like everything is so awesome. And
mm-hmm.
again,
mm-hmm.
not trying to say that they have to tell all their business, but, you know, be real. You know, help a sister out, pay it forward. You know, reach back
yes.
and just say, hey, it's not all
yes.
peaches and cream, you know? I can appreciate
exactly.
you guys being so honest. Thank you.
But, you know,
well,
there's
you
some
know,
things that don't bother other women. You know,
right.
coming out of a whole caregiving situation, people are telling me now, how, you know, how they marvel at the years that I was able to take care of my husband. But mm-hmm. it did not seem like it was hard when I was going through it because I depended on my faith, Christ
mm-hmm.
to carry, to give me the strength. But
yes.
there are people who look at it from the outside and say, when he gets sick, he's got to go. Well,
mm-hmm.
What happened to in sickness and in health? That's not to scare you, and it may not happen to you, but you have to be comfortable with who you are and what you want and what your expectations are, because he might not be the one to get sick. Do you want him to leave you should you get sick? You know,
right.
yes.
I mean, life is what it is. Are you going to grow old together? Are you going to grow and grow old together? What does that look like?
And just to tap onto that, Beverly, not only sickness, he may have had a job when you married, but what happens if he loses his job after the marriage? Are you willing to stick it out? Those are candid questions that I think women have to ask themselves because, again, the person may have had a six-figure job when you met them, but what happens, you know, after this, you know, grand wedding? And I know certain people out there that they may not be down for that, just, you know, just keeping it real. And so there are different things that you have to look at in a marriage. We know it's hard work. You take those vows, and that's definitely something that you're supposed to hold fast and true to. It's not just, you know, a marriage between two. It's a covenant of three of your commitment and vows with God. But I think, and I know from my marriage, that I'm willing to do with, you know, through thick and thin. And that's what you have to do. The reason why I formed Wives United in Prayer was to have women that would keep it real, just to piggyback back to what Chanel mentioned, you definitely need women in your life that are going to keep it real. And so no matter who we meet, and it's not necessarily saying that you're putting your business out there, but it's keeping it real about marriage and telling you the ups and downs of how marriage can be. And, you know, we have different ages of women that have been married, you know, over 25 years, 30 years, et cetera. And then we have some very some newlywed women who have only been married for a year or less. So I think with that various degrees of experience and love for one another, and we recently launched a book club for single and married women, because we definitely don't want to forget about we were single at one point, and we still want to have that interaction. We, you know, read different books, and we talk about them and relate that to our lives and different things that can happen, because it's not just a, we all have friends that are still single, and we think about when we were once there. And that's definitely needed to keep that interaction going back and forth, so that it is that open dialogue between all women. And that's ultimately what my heart is about, empowering all women. But my love definitely is toward the institution of marriage.
Hey, Chanel, I have a question for you all. I want to know, and Deb, I want to hear your point too. How do we really keep it real with our sisters when they're making choices that are not in alignment with what it's going to take to have a healthy marriage? That's just the question I have out there.
Well,
you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Ben. I'm going to let you take this one first. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I ask two questions when I hear young women and old married people that have been around and that are complaining about their husband, and I even ask myself that on occasion. Because believe me, I ask myself the same questions I ask you guys. Number one, if you start something, are you willing to keep it up?
Mm.
If you cook him three meals a day when you're courting, are you going to be willing to cook him three meals a day when you're 40 years into the marriage? That's number one. Number two, if he was a dreamer and always changed from one job to the other, or there was something about him that was always funny. I think about comedians. I imagine if his jokes were not funny to you when you were courting, when he gets into the 25 and 30 years, those jokes are still going to be there. How has he changed from the first time you met him that annoyed you just a little bit when you were going together, but you thought it would disappear after a few years? Or what women are good at, after the kids come, he'll grow up. Really? Do you really believe that? So a lot of it is, when you're talking about keeping it real, asking the real questions, so that we don't really get into your business. The one question we ask is, what's changed from the time you met him?
Oh. I like that. So maybe not so much that we need to call people out, but ask the right questions to get them thinking. Turn it back around,
mm-hmm.
so they can come up with the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And actually, I'm going to take it a step further and just remind them of what was it like when you realized that this was it? Like, go back to that moment. I think sometimes we forget, and it's not just with, you know, our relationships, but it's just with a whole bunch of things in life. When you said you were going to go to college and major in whatever you majored in and chose this as a career, or when you decided that it was time to have children, or when you decided to relocate, and all those things are great, but then as time goes on, you know, whatever happens, you're disappointed and you're angry and you're complaining. Go back to that moment of why you decided to do that, and almost like rededicate yourself to that decision that you made. It was so wonderful and so awesome back then. Relive that. Like, don't forget. And we forget a lot. We forget, you know, why we fell in love. We let it go. Go back to the moment.
Are you old enough to remember the song, The Thrill Is Gone?
I know that song, yes.
I think that's what happened. Once the thrill is gone and reality sets in, and we become disillusioned.
I think that may happen for some. What I would like to say, because my faith, I definitely would just have to rely on that. And I just want to say that this scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. And that's a scripture that I'd like to put out there when talking about marriage and ask, are you willing to continue to lift up your companion through the good, through the bad, 10 years when he's leaving his laundry on the floor in the room and it's driving you crazy, those things like that. Continuing to put just as much effort as you would into maintaining your nails in your closet and your clothes, putting that same emphasis in your marriage, because you definitely have to water the marriage just like you do your plants. So if you don't tend to your lawn, it's in disarray, your marriage is the same thing. Things will go away. So you definitely have to put the time into your marriage and your relationship, into that person, and make them feel like the first day when you guys first met and you were putting all this emphasis on making sure you were, you know, everything was good from head to toe. Do that 10 years later. It may be a little bit harder with three kids and you're trying to focus on how you're going to add up, you know, the finances and things like that. But just putting time to spend together each week, or, you know, 30 minutes here each day, it adds up and it just shows your interest is still there. And it's the little things sometimes that I think ultimately is the reason why marriages fail, because we always look at the big things when it's usually the small things that you can make little efforts toward.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Another song that comes up that you just reminded me of is the one, I don't even know who sings it, but he says, I want to know what love is.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know, how do you define love?
And I wonder, so Deb, I want to take that question, and I want to turn it back on to the woman, because just from my observation, you all know I have not been married, and I've actually contemplated quite a bit whether or not I even want to get married, although I've seen great marriages in my family and with friends. But when I look at some of my, and I'll say young because they're under 40, friends who have reached that point where the thrill is gone and they're unhappy in their marriages and they're starting to ask themselves, what does love look like? I am noticing a pattern of the women getting away from themselves. You know, they pour so much into other people that they forget who they are and how to love themselves, to the point where they're even afraid to do things that show that I love me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder how much of a role that plays into keeping marriages alive and well and happy.
I don't know what you think, Carmen, but the first thing I think is that they weren't on solid ground from the beginning.
Definitely, we are on the same page, Beverly. It starts with you. It starts within, I don't know how many times I can say, it starts with within. And you can't, it just sounds like to me they were never there with themselves to begin with. And so if you're seeking that elsewhere, ultimately it's going to fall down. But I think when you notice that, there are so many different things that you, if you truly want to make your marriage work, there are so many different things that you can do in addition to relying on your faith to get you through, or having different people in your lives to be able to talk to and ask questions or ask for guidance or whatever. But I must say this, that what I found is that a lot of couples or a lot of women have a hard time opening up. And that's something that I shared at the beginning today. And I think because of society, that women at this point feel like they have to put on a facade that everything is peachy, and that they could really be suffering in their relationships and they don't want to open up. And that's why I just think that having a support system, whether it be your best friend, your pastor, a not-for-profit or a Christian organization, you know, it's so many different things out there that you can, or places you can go for help, that if you open up and opening up is half the battle. Just hearing those words just released from your mouth to say, I'm failing, and I didn't think that I would feel this way a year later. A lot of it is embarrassment because, you know, they've spent $30,000 on a wedding, and a year later they feel like, you know, we're reaching this point where we don't want to go on. I think, honestly, half the battle is just being able to openly speak about it and not feel like you have to put on this big thing that everything is perfect, which is what we've continued to talk about. And being able to just find different people that you feel at ease with, being able to release different things, is, to me, the best way to go about that. And I always rely on my faith in God first, and then I seek out the different people that He has put in my life for a reason, and that has helped me to move to different levels or get past certain things in my life that I can honestly say is what, you know, led me to Wives United in Prayer, is that at one point I was there where I felt like that because I am a more private person, that I thought about, you know, if I went to my first lady, some of the things that I know as a Christian, the thoughts that I were having, I felt like, well, you know, I don't want her to think I'm a heathen.
Right.
But even though I knew I had the support to do that, it's just something that I just, it just kept coming back to me no matter what. And that is what led me to start Wives United in Prayer. So having that support system to, whenever I felt like I was in a certain hole, being able to open up about that and people coming to say, I was there. And then because there are a lot of things out there to make you feel like you're the only one in this entire world going through something, and that's definitely not the case. But if you don't open your mouth to say that, you can torture yourself, and that ultimately is going to help you destroy your relationship, destroy your marriage, if you won't open your mouth and ask for help, because you can't always look at your husband to know what you need.
You know, I have to applaud both Venetia and Chanel, though, because you're both very strong women, and you know who you are. And that's
mm-hmm.
the beginning. Before you even step into a relationship, you need to know who you are and whose you are. Like I tell all of my caregivers, you know, you cannot give what you don't have. If you are always giving to a husband, to a child, to a school, to a job, to an employer, to a business, to whatever, and you're always giving because you're trying to make everybody else happy, but you don't know what makes you happy. You don't know what sustains you, and you don't take the time to sustain the promises within you. You are not going to be good to anybody or for anybody. So before you even step into that marriage, you have to have good faith, good foundation, good integrity, and good values before you can give anything or expect anything from anybody else. It's the bottom line.
Whew. Man, that touched me real, real good. That just really touched me. That's real. And so that goes back to being that whole number, that one,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what that looks like for women. And I love, you know, I just appreciate how you all keep going back to the fact that we have to just be willing to talk to other people, to be open, to be transparent, and that requires a lot of trust because a lot of people are afraid of being judged or, you know, having somebody take their words and use it against them, you know. That can cause a lot of fear, fearful thoughts, and it is a risk.
Yes.
But I think we have to really help our sisters feel safe in doing that. And, you know, it's like, well, how do you create that safe space? It's by not passing judgment. But if you all have any other tips to share, please do. You know, but how do we make people feel safe enough to talk? You know, it's funny, I'll tell a little, I won't tell the story because I don't want to give all the details, but one of my sister friends, was holding in a lot of stuff that was going on in her relationship, like holding it in, I'm going to burst if I don't tell somebody and get some help. And to be honest, it took her having a couple of strong drinks
really strong drinks in the bartender before she really opened up. And then she said, you know, I've never told anybody this, and I really needed to get this out. Because she wanted a listening ear, and she wanted to feel safe. You know, and I don't think we should have to resort to altering states to do that, but how can we help our sisters feel safe enough to share?
Go back to kindergarten, choose your friends very carefully.
Oh, man. I love it.
Right, I agree. I mean, definitely choosing your friends carefully, and then also, again, like we talked about last week, taking the time to listen to the still, small voice, doing the work, figuring out what is in you, and you'll be directed to the right person to speak to. Because sometimes you can know somebody for a really long time, know them forever, and that may not be the right person that you need to speak to, but you need to speak to somebody. And I do believe that when you speak those words and call out to the universe and say, send me someone that I can speak to. Send me someone that understands what I need right now. And I am a witness that you will be directed to the right person. We can't do this by ourselves, so we have to trust something that's even bigger and higher than us to direct us to the right person that we need to speak to.
Isn't that back to the work we were talking about, though? You know, it's back to the work of selecting friends that you know have your best interests at heart.
I believe in that, but I also believe in sometimes you don't know that people that you probably thought you would never be friends with will actually turn out to be good friends. I definitely believe in having discernment, but I just want to say be authentic. Because whenever you meet someone, people can, just like we all meet people and we sometimes feel a connection, but if you're changing yourself to try to make people feel like that they can trust you, then ultimately the real you is going to come out. So if you live and walk authentically in everything that you do, then the people that you're supposed to meet and mentor, it's going to happen. You're not going to have to push it. Just Tanisha said at the beginning how she met us at different points in her life for different reasons. Chanel, she hadn't talked to you in a while, and look at you guys now. And the same thing when I look at my relationship with Tanisha. If you are authentic, what's going to happen, it's going to happen because it's supposed to happen. It's not something that you're going to have to push. And so just keeping that in mind when you start new relationship with women, we want to befriend people who are authentic, and we can tell if you really care or if you're just putting on the front to make it seem like you care just to get information. But I think that we're all smart women to know at this point the information that you're going to share, because no one wants to put their information out there and have it, you know, blasted all over and feel like, oh, man, I didn't know I could trust that person. And so for me, I say my prayers and believe that the people that I'm supposed to work with and that I trust are there for a reason. And I can wholeheartedly say that it's worked out pretty good for me. And I'm thankful and I'm blessed for the women in my life, and I just want to be a blessing to others.
I love, Carmen, the fact that you speak what you're looking for, and we've talked about that several times too, that you know in your heart and you speak it, and you and God gives you what you're looking for. But on a parallel track, I think it's sad that there are so many women who don't observe confidentiality. You don't get something from one friend and go back and tell another. That's teenage stuff.
Why do we think, let me just ask Beth, why do you think that is at this point?
I have no
clue. Why do you think that women don't value, you know, confidentiality?
I wonder how much of that comes from our society. I mean, look at how we have, as a society as a whole, look at how commitment and confidentiality are, I guess, portrayed as a word in our world, just on a bigger scale. I don't think it's something that's valued.
Right, it's not honored. You know, look at programming, tabloids, magazines. It's glorified when something dramatic happens to somebody and you tell someone else. And then also, it takes the attention off of that person. So no one's going to be looking at a certain individual, their life, when they're talking about someone else. You know, it takes the attention off of them. And that's real bad. That's, you shouldn't have to talk about someone else just to so-called diminish whatever you're going through, because eventually it'll come to light anyway, because what you reap is what you sow. And the same stuff that you're putting out, you're going to get right back. So, you know.
And I think Carmen started out talking about judging mm-hmm. one another. It's so easy to judge. And when someone else is showing somebody else's faults on the TV or on Facebook or on Twitter, it's easy to look at them and say, oh, look at them, and then you don't see. You've got this whole plank in your eye.
Right.
You know, you've got all kinds of stuff going on, demons in your closet. Mm-hmm. But it's easy to talk about what everybody else is talking about, somebody else's stuff.
And I think it's easy if we look at TV and look at some of the reality shows to say women don't value confidentiality. And so I guess it's two-sided for me, because when I look at the personal side of it with Wives United and Prayer, we value confidentiality. And so everything that we share with one another, I'm 100% do not share it with others outside of the organization, because that is something that is the most important thing to us, to know that anything that is shared with us is something that's going to stay there, because that is the most important thing. Trust is so important, and that we value each other, we value what is shared. And that is something that we do not play with. We definitely value the confidential nature of everything, and know that this is information that is being shared with us because we are sisters. And women want to feel like their information is valued, it's not being shared. And so my point of saying that is that you may look at TV and see these reality shows, which are put together for ratings, et cetera, and all women are definitely not that way, that you definitely have women out there that value relationships, value their friendships, their families, and still have the core value in their hearts. And, I just wanted to put that out there to say that there are definitely women out there that value these relationships as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yes. WivesUnitedInPrayer.org. WivesUnitedInPrayer.org. Carmen, would you let people know how they can connect with your organization and get involved?
Thank you. Fanisha just shared our website address. We also have a Facebook page, Wives United in Prayer, to support our mission. We also just launched a book club, and the email address for that, and it's catered to single and married women, is wipbc@wivesunitedinprayer.org.
Thanks so much, Carmen. I know you have been an inspiration for people today. We appreciate you being on the Make It Great show with us. And
Thank
we wish you well as you continue. Yes. Because we
Thank you.
Are with you in that when a marriage is strong, so is the family and so is the society.
Thank
so
you
much
for having me.
Yes, go on out there and keep on making it great. And all of our listeners want you to keep on making it great. Chanel and Beth, can you shout out your website for everybody?
My
website is my name, ChanelEllis.com.
And my website is FromMamasHouse.net.
Fantastic. And you all can catch me at Fanisha.com. And until next time, please go out there and make it great.
I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply, I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay, for this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best that I am great.